an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
You have to include people in the discussion we just had.
Deborah Falconer is our guest tonight, by the way. She got a new CD out. I will include everybody on this, what we're talking about during the break, but first
it wasn't even a break.
Or whatever it was, the 10 seconds
during
before
life.
The show started. Yeah. But first, we want to get down with Deborah over here. Deborah, anyways, got a new CD out.
Uh-oh.
Or it's coming out tomorrow,
that
right?
Mic here. No, not working.
No. That's all right. I think it's on now.
No.
No? All right. Well, Anderson would make a great... You'd make a great airplane mechanic. You'd be like, seems like the number three. Let's get it up in the air and we'll look at it then. I'm not sure if we're going to get in the air. Bring it up. Get it up the altitude.
I'll fix it.
And I'll fix it once we're off the ground.
Don't worry.
Just make sure the gear's up. Does a gear come up? Well, that's another thing I want to talk about. Get it up. See if we can crank it up. Get it up in the air and then we'll check it.
It's Westwood One.
All right. Anderson checked it. Now we're theoretically okay.
Hello? No, Anderson.
But now he's got to push the buttons. Why he never pushes the button before he comes in and clicks it, I don't know.
Maybe
but
there's some magic to that. Some engineer magic.
Yeah.
Try now. There we go.
Oh, hey.
There you are.
There it is.
Deborah, I saw. Anyway, Deborah's got a new CD. It's coming out tomorrow, right?
That's right.
And it's called Brave Like Me, and we're going to hear something off of that. And Deborah, I actually saw on a like Entertainment Tonight piece
Extra Lounge. They do that weekend show.
No, was that it? Where her ex-husband is Robert Downey Jr. and they did a thing on.
Oh, that was a separate thing, yeah. Where they went into Robert's house and.
Oh, I thought they went into your house.
No, it was his house.
It was his house, and you came over.
It's a lot nicer than mine, and I would
like
to claim it
as
my house.
Seemed nice. So anyway, I saw Deborah there, and that's where I learned she was a songwriter and a singer and all that. But it was kind of an interesting piece, and we've had Robert on this show, and we thought he was an interesting guy and a likable guy, sort of a sweet guy in a sort of F-up kind of way, I guess.
That's true.
But you can't help but like him.
You can't help it. That's the whole thing.
That's the problem. That's what gets him.
But it was interesting that these exes seemed to be getting along pretty well and almost seemed like he was pulling for you and you were pulling for him.
He's unwavering support for me. And we get along really well. And
you guys have a child together, don't
you? We have a son, Indio.
Yeah. And that's... And it's kind of nice when the parents... Like, my parents broke up and would not... speak to each other for 20-something years.
Do not, right?
Well, no. They will. They can go to a you know, if there's a wedding, the two of them can show up
and speak.
Now
and speak.
Not necessarily. They're not going to hang out and chat, but they can be in the same room. It's not uncomfortable.
Wow.
It's not like a it used to be like a crow and a badger going at it.
Wow.
And now it's just like a couple of cats that don't really like each other, but they're too old to fight. They may just like crap or something.
They pee on the wall.
They're too old. Yeah, it's always weird as a kid, though. It's
well,
like
because as a kid, all you want is your parents to love each other, you know, or get along and not fight. And even though there's times where you're just like, oh, I'm gonna kill him, you know, it doesn't serve.
Yeah,
Indio
it doesn't work.
You know,
to use
not
the kid
it.
As the crap conduit for you to duke into and then pass it over to the other
that's
spouse.
Right. That's right.
Quite an image.
Yeah. Well, that's what it was. Well, the point is I just happened to be watching TV. That was a good 6-8 months ago. Anyway, I saw the piece. I thought you were interesting, and I thought your guys' relationship was interesting, and I thought your music was interesting. So when producer Ann came in and pitched you.
Thought it was an interesting idea. That's interesting.
Yeah.
She's interesting.
Then I took a look at the week and I said, no, we got nobody coming. No, I thought Deborah's interesting. So we should bring her in.
Interesting week.
Yeah. And then it says here you're a former elite model, which that's good for me, and former heroin addict, which is good for Drew. Because those are my things.
Like, the combination made for some interesting.
For us.
Yeah.
For Adam and Drew.
Yeah.
As they say, out the gate by 8. In the spoon by noon.
Oh,
back
yeah.
Again by 10.
Yep. That's Robert. So how long have you been clean off the heroin?
Oh, almost 6 years.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Now, Drew, always we always
but
talk about...
I only
about
did the heroin because I would do too much crack, and then I needed the heroin to come down, so it's...
Really?
Yeah. It's not so much...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was just kind of a...
That's a drug addict.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, it was great.
Because we always talk about, like, methadone and stuff on this show, and Drew can't stand it. But
can't stand talking about methadone?
No, I don't like methadone. I mean, I know it's an option out there, but...
Yeah, he doesn't...
I never did methadone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were able to do it because it wasn't heroin. Didn't have the grip on you that it has on some.
No, it had a grip. All of it had a pretty good grip. But I ended up getting sober by Odeen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
is there a good story? Did your heart stop or anything?
Yeah, it did.
Really?
Actually,
wow. Did you see any lights or
no? I don't remember any of that. I don't remember any of that. But there was a whole. You know, resuscitation and
wow,
and a long.
Does it change you? I mean, being on being that close to death.
Well, absolutely, it absolutely changed me. Well, it changed me from being okay. I've lost the desire to keep trying to kill myself.
I mean, it changed you in that you got you off the drugs. But I mean, does it change you in the way you look at life at all?
Well, I feel very aware of being very grateful and appreciative of, you know, my son and my life in every moment. You have to incorporate some humor when you get that dark.
I need
to get you know, to move on. And you kind of...
I need that. Drew,
humor?
I need you to bring me... No, I need to appreciate.
Need to OD, make you OD.
I don't want you to kill me, but I just need to take me right to death's threshold and then, you know, safely pull me back
safely
in if
back.
That's possible.
So
can you do that?
To leave you there, though.
Well, no, let me stay there for a little bit because I want to get the full effect, but then I want you to need you to bring me back.
All right.
All right.
That's
so
pretty, you
can start appreciating life. All right, but anyway, you appreciate life now.
Well, yeah, and it's a constant quest to kind of find more out about who you are and what makes me, how I got to that point where that made sense, you know, and sort of figure out my patterns and my, you know, the things I keep reenacting and drawing into my life and wanting to, you know, let that go, kind of.
But you didn't have any sort of Oprah or daytime TV like experience when you died? You didn't hear your mom calling you to come back or see any light at the end of a tunnel or anything like that?
I didn't see a light at the end of the tunnel. Nothing like that.
Good. Listen, I appreciate that. I like people that say, listen, I was so loaded, I don't remember what happened. That's why my heart stopped in the first place. That's fine. I appreciate that.
Isn't that enough?
It's enough. Everyone has a great story for everything.
No, then you sort of, like 3 months later, you sort of come to.
Yeah.
Like, right? Like 3 months later, you start making sense again.
But
you're unfreezing for years after that.
I like people who don't have a good story about anything. Like,
that's
I like people who went, like,
well, the story itself is pretty good, you know.
Oh, leading up until that.
Yeah.
But I like a guy who says, like, I went to Europe last summer for a month, and you go, hey, how was it? It's okay. No big deal. And then they move on. I like that guy. Lets me talk more.
So that's somehow me and the drug experience?
Yeah. You didn't see any light. There's no angels. I got more stuff. I got more room to talk now. All right. So we're gonna hear something off Deborah's CD in this break. And I think we take some of these phone calls now.
All
ready to go?
There you go.
Deborah, you know how the show works?
I do.
People call, and we make fun of them. But you use your beauty and experience to help heal.
Okay.
Jenny?
Yep.
You're 24?
Yes, I am.
What's
up? I just want to tell you guys, I love your show, and I listen to it every night. You guys are awesome.
Thanks.
Which reminds me, I did a thing tonight that was kind of interesting for this group called Celebration One, which is a graduation of all the kids that have been emancipated from foster care in Los Angeles County.
Really?
And are going off to college.
Wow.
It was very cool. It was really cool.
All three of them?
No, there's 150 of them. I
really?
Promised that I'd say a shout-out to them.
That's nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
So these are kids that had a horrible life at the beginning, but got into some foster care, got pointed the right direction, did well, and are now going off to college.
Yep, yeah.
Good.
I mean, it does work.
Good times.
When it does.
Yeah, kill their roommates and jump off the bell tower. Jenny?
Yep.
Go ahead.
My husband had one of his testicles removed when he was in his early teens, and he says he's never had a really high sex drive. And I was wondering if this could affect it.
Why was the testy removed?
Oh, it's a twisted testicle, I guess.
Torsion.
Sports.
Yeah. Torsion.
Yeah. But that doesn't affect your sex drive, does it?
It shouldn't, but it shouldn't. But it'd be worthwhile having his testosterone levels checked just to make sure there's not something going on.
Okay.
But Drew, how does the body work that you have redundancy, but yet you don't need the other one sometimes?
That's probably why that developed too.
You mean
because the risk of losing one was always there, and if you lose one, you're screwed. But if you have two, you got a backup system.
Right. So if you lose one testicle, there's no difficulty.
Usually
in terms of testosterone.
Your other tests can compensate rather nicely, usually. But what do you mean by no sex drive?
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to convince one that the other was gone so it would start overcompensating.
Double downing.
Yeah, and then I would have my two testicles, but I'd have like a race.
Yeah. 150%.
Like a fight breaking out in the sack. Like, to see who drove that golden spike. You know that kind of thing where I'd have all the testosterone?
That'd be good.
Yeah, I'd do that. That's next.
Well, how often is he willing to have sex now?
Well, we probably have sex about four times a week, but if we're up to him, I think it would be one time or less a week.
Well, one time or less a week, one and a half times a week is normal.
Okay.
But if he had trouble producing testosterone, he would not be able to make it four times a week.
And what about he's doing it four times a week.
And he produces something four times a week? Something comes out of him?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
And what do you mean up to him?
I just don't think I'm always the one who has to make the move. He's not ever the one that... Doesn't really seem like he's that into it.
But you know, once your relationship gets established as this one makes the move and this one says okay, then that's just kind of the way it goes. Like, you just sit around. He says okay, though, right?
Yeah.
All right. That's just kind of the cadence
that's
of the
God's
relationship.
Plan. That's God's plan, right?
Yeah. Well, I just mean 90% of the time it's the guy who's making the move, but there's certain relationships where the girl makes the move and the guy settles into that rhythm. Like, hey, it's Saturday, it's 8:30 in the evening. We're about to watch a little TGI Friday on ABC. She's going to make her sex move. Thank you. Drew?
Yeah, here, I get you. I'm just trying to figure out who that couple is. You know what I mean?
It's right here. Yeah. That's why I said TGI Friday. I like to watch by step.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
it happens. Drew's a man. Deborah,
wife.
You should know that Drew's a man of supreme passion.
Supreme passion?
Supreme.
He's a passionate man.
What makes it supreme? I mean,
I'm saying it. I don't know.
He's loaded for bear when it comes to passion. He's a passionate man.
For bear?
Yeah. I mean, meaning, you haven't heard that term?
No.
I'll explain it to you later,
okay.
But write that down.
Yeah.
We figured this out because Drew does not enjoy a BJ. I mean, he can tolerate it.
What do you mean by that?
He doesn't...
When you say don't enjoy...
He enjoys it, but this is merely the dinner salad before he can sink his teeth into that rack of lamb. You know what I mean? That's the way he looks, because he's a passionate man.
Adam would rather just have the blowjob and go to sleep.
I'd rather.
You're not returning the favor, that kind of.
No, thing. I will.
Oh, you will.
If he
I'll
has
do what
to.
I have
he
to.
Has
I'll
to.
Do what I have to do.
When push comes to shove, you will.
Put a gun in my head. Hey, I'll do what I have to do. No, I will return the favor. But what I'm
so Drew's a giver.
What I'm no,
oh.
No, he's not.
Okay.
It's that we figured out that. That there's a handful of guys I've met. I'm a big fan of the BJ. I enjoy the concept of it. I enjoy the sensation of it. I enjoy it on a lot of different levels.
Right.
Drew, I found out rather late in our relationship, possibly too late, because we were broken up.
Yeah.
Found out, not a big fan of the BJ. Not because he doesn't like BJs, not because he doesn't like women, because he likes the vagina so much that the BJ... is merely a distraction before the actual intercourse.
I can appreciate that.
You can dig that, right? He's
sometimes
a passionate guy.
Yeah, sometimes you just want to get
right
to it.
That's right, and that's true. A man of extreme and extraordinary passion.
I can relate.
Right, okay. You guys make a fine couple. Kim?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah, oh my God, I'm so glad you guys picked up. Yeah, I'm 21.
What's up?
Okay, I've been married for, a little over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, not too long ago, I found personal, website ads that my husband had placed.
Uh-oh. What'd they say?
And And it blew my mind away, just because I
How do you know they were his? You saw his phone number or something?
Well, I got sneaky, and I figured out his passwords, and I mean, like, one of them's asking, like, favorite places to eat and all this stuff, and it's, like, all his favorite stuff. Like, I'm positive he placed them just the way he writes them.
All right. All right.
I'm sure they're his.
All right.
But what it's,
like,
what,
yeah. Asking for, like, no strings attached sex kind of deal.
All right, so he may be a sex addict.
Well, yeah. Do you think he's active?
Yeah. Okay, he's older than me, too. He's 36.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not really getting into my sex life too much, but, I mean, I think I'm a pretty exciting person and like to try new things. And
yeah, but if you're an addict, you're into multiple partners and multiple situations, you need a danger element there.
Has nothing to do with you. It's not about you.
Right.
Well, here's another thing I want. Like, in these ads, like, he looks for this kind of stuff, and I've seen, like, I found one of his buddy lists with all these women's names on them. But, I mean, and he's got pictures in his ads of people that aren't him, men that aren't him.
What kind of stuff is he into?
He's got pictures in his ads of men, like, that aren't him?
Yeah.
So maybe he's just getting into internet porn. Maybe
you mean to get people to think this is him?
Yeah, I mean, it's not porn, though. It's, like, personal ads to meet other women. And, like, the same town I'm in.
Yeah, but maybe he's just meeting online and sort of having...
Well, but what's the part where you say he's using pictures that aren't him? How does that factor in?
I don't know. It kind of leads me to believe that, it doesn't seem like he's going to follow through with it, or he can't lie about that.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I bet it's just going online. It's an internet sex line.
And I love him very much, but I
It sounds like a delight. What's that?
I felt really hurt by the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, look.
It's like I'm trying to look online and...
Well, okay, listen. Quiet down. Quiet. Why are you... You're 21. Why are you married to a 36-year-old guy?
He was a great guy. Like, our whole relationship was great until we got married.
And how long have you known him? Since you were 15?
17.
How old was he at the time?
31 or something?
32.
Doesn't that strike you as bizarre?
17 and 32?
No, because, like, honest to God, guys, like, everybody in the world knew that I was going to end up with somebody older because...
Well, as long as word on the street was out early on. So, like,
I don't mean it like that. I mean, like, I am very, very mature and been...
No, yeah. you got issues with Dad. We get that. But that doesn't mean that the guy you pick is not going to be a problem.
And listen, you don't know it because he's your guy, but Deborah can weigh in on this. I mean, 17, a 32-year-old guy seriously courting a 17-year-old is not a great guy.
No, there's some definite
issues. Yeah. There's issues there. Issues that the 17-year-old doesn't see. She's
right.
Flattered.
She's 17.
Thinks this guy's a contemporary, but...
And legal issues as well.
Yeah, depending on what state you're in. But this is not a great guy, and it's not surprising that he has these other issues.
That's right. Not at all.
All right.
So if you want to try to preserve this relationship, you need to maybe get him into couples counseling and then come clean about what you know. And he's probably... Hang on a second. Is he addicted to anything, Kim? Has he been an addict in the past, or is he addicted to anything now?
Well, actually, I was listening to the beginning of your story, and he was a heroin addict before.
Okay.
And I
well,
was
this
thinking
is this
about
is
that when Deborah was talking.
This is you. Correct me if I'm wrong. Your experience with your people with this disease, Deborah, but my heroin addicts do stuff like this all the time. When their recovery is going bad, this is where they go.
Other distractions, anything.
Very intense thrill seeking. Like they steal. They get into true and sort of criminal activity or sexual compulsions. That's where they go. So this is it. All adds up here, Kim.
So that's like a side effect of this.
It's part of his disease. Is he going to meetings every day? Does he have a sponsor?
He used to. And,
no. All right. Well, there you go. There you go. Yeah. It's all sort of adding up to... He may even be in relapse by now. He might be using currently.
All right. So, well, but good times. You know.
Get him in. Get him in. Get a couples group. Confront him.
Yeah.
In a safe environment. I wouldn't bring it out. Kim is such a classic codependent. What am I doing? What is about me? It's about me. It's not about Kim at all. It's about this guy's disease, and it needs to be treated.
Right. And I don't know what percentage of women, I mean, a lot of guys cruise the internet, a lot of guys look at pornography, a lot of guys have extramarital affairs, and about 5% of it is their actual wife. Maybe 5% of the time she's frigid or she got into some kind of accident on a mechanical bull or something that renders her, unable to have intercourse or something. But that's 5%. The other 95% is just the guy can.
Yeah.
Or he's just that guy.
That's right. Bye, right. Let's hear a song, yeah?
Yeah.
You said this break.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
All right. I think we will do that. Hey, Billy?
Yeah.
We're going to hear a song.
All right.
All right, hold on. Thanks, buddy.
No problem.
Okay. I like to pretend like the callers are involved with the show.
It'd be okay from him.
Yeah, check with Tanya. Tanya.
Yes.
We're gonna play a song by Deborah, okay?
Okay.
And then we'll get back with you. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. We'll try to make it fast, okay?
Okay.
All right, you hang tight. Okay. I think the consensus amongst the callers is they want to hear a Deborah song. Yeah.
The majority.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Brave Like Me is the name of the CD, and this is called King Size. Deborah Falconer is here tonight. Brave Like Me is the name of the CD. Oh, it's nice not to mash our heads listening to the kids in their angst. Very nice, Deborah.
Thank you.
Deborah is not only has a beautiful voice, but a beautiful face and body too. As I look at her CD, she's you can get that CD, which is coming out tomorrow, by going to cdbaby.com. By the way. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll speak to Billy Jerome.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sure.
Gets rewarded for being a prick to women. Why should he be sensitive? Oh, he's meeting. You're meeting. You get a lot of women because you're an a-hole?
No, no way. That's totally backwards.
Oh, okay.
I'm just curious if it's better to be an asshole instead.
I see, because he gets crapped on for not being an asshole.
I see.
This is the nice
exactly.
guy thing.
I
okay.
see.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Speaking of cramping on Billy, I don't look at that as a very tantalizing
all
call.
Right, how about
for,
this? Here we go.
Well, we will talk to him eventually. Let's see. Boyfriend. This is a Jennifer. Boyfriend loves internet porn. Can't get him to stop looking. She's angry. All right. That's the way to go. I would check in with her, but then she would tell me that whatever the description was 180 degrees off. So I think we'll just go in a commercial
yeah,
thinking
perfect.
This is what we're going to hear.
Fair enough.
After this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew, clearing his throat. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Deborah Falconer is our guest tonight, singer, songwriter. Got a new CD coming out tomorrow, Brave Like Me. What the hell was I thinking? Oh, I'll tell you what I was thinking. I keep a running list of things I would like to do in my lifetime, such as being thrown out of a casino for winning.
Right, such as
having my hands registered somewhere
right,
throughout the casino. I would like to have to dive into a body of water with a knife in my mouth, but have a legitimate purpose.
And right. one strapped to your thigh.
One strapped to the thigh.
The knife in the mouth.
That would be the one I'd pull out, put in my mouth.
Right.
But I can't just do it. I have to have reason to do it.
Right.
And I can't have someone going, why is it in your mouth? What should be in your hand as I'm entering the water?
Right.
People have to know. You know, I just came up with one.
Right.
A cape removed from me.
Oh,
by a second.
Yes.
I could be on stage. I could be on a podium.
But a big cape,
thing,
a big red collar.
Big cape,
yeah.
Just as I stand there.
You have to be able to turn, let it swoop around, and then have it removed.
I'm posing in front of a large audience, and a second comes out and removes the cape
from me.
Does there
need to be a top hat and cape?
No, just
the
cape.
Is there a musical number involved? Or?
Could be. I don't know. I don't
that
know.
I want to
but
see.
I just want a legitimate reason. And I'm not talking about a magician's cape. I'm talking about an emperor's cape. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you want the big red
big
robe.
Cape. Yeah, I'm talking sort of an Elvis sort of thing. Basically, what I want to do is undress in front of, you know, the thing where I take the stage, I see everybody, then a second comes out, and he comes, you know, hand him the cane, the cape.
So you'd be like a holy man. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, I got it from watching, what's his name, the hardest working man in show business.
James Brown.
Just he has a cape and people remove. Elvis would have a cape removed.
Some boxers
like
have capes once in a while. That kind of thing.
Yeah, that's maybe I could use it that way. I don't know. The knife in the mouth's going to be tough.
Yeah, you need to be like, because your hands have to be occupied.
Yeah, or cut or something, broken. Your wrists are broken.
No, but he's got to be going in to hit an alligator.
I got to be going in. There has to be an attractive woman, perhaps Deborah. Shark infested
almost
waters.
Drowning.
I'm going in.
Right.
I need the knife.
Right, you need the knife.
Right. Well, we can work all this out. Perhaps I can roll them all into one move. Cape comes off,
the knife
goes
in,
hands get registered.
The sharks.
Pit boss tells me to leave. It's a casino boat.
Yeah,
it's one of those river boats.
Yeah. And you're a holy man.
Yeah. Jennifer?
Yes?
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Actually, well, my boyfriend loves porn, and it just bothers me so tough.
Internet.
And I really don't know.
Yeah.
What?
Internet porn.
Yeah, internet and magazines. I find like magazines under his mattress and a bunch of websites on the internet.
How old is he?
He's 20.
Do you guys live together?
He has his own place, and I kind of not officially, but I'm over there all the time.
Are you in college or something?
I go to community college.
Community college.
It's not really
in Washington D.C. Oh, it must be Washington State.
Huh?
Okay, and. So, have you told him to stop?
Yeah. And
what kind of question is that?
I'm just curious.
Like, what's that going to do?
Well, she could have voiced her opinion. I don't know if she's voiced her opinion or not.
Oh, yeah. I've made it quite clear.
Well, he's not going to stop. And it's not. Does it make you feel bad or?
It makes me just feel, just ugly.
Yeah. Like you're not enough or something.
Right. It has nothing to do with you. Women can't get that. They just,
by the way, other,
you're fat.
Other people being attractive doesn't make you unattractive.
Right.
You know, it's like
that's
women.
Envy.
Women treat it like there's only enough attractive to go around for a certain number of women, and they have to steal it back and forth from each other. You could all be hot. That'd be best for us. We'd like that if everyone was just
super
hot.
Yeah, but you want to be the hottest.
I know. You would all be super hot, but, and then there, another fight would break out over who was the hottest of the hot.
But Adam, I mean, even somebody that is with the absolute hottest
right.
is still looking at porn.
Course.
I mean, whoever's with Cindy Crawford is still zipping around.
Yes. Yeah.
Well,
no?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Deborah, what do you come... And Jennifer, do you have feelings? I mean, do you have self-esteem issues?
Yeah, I was really fat growing up.
Oh, true. Right.
And so I'm just like kind
of... What if he just sort of kept it to himself? That he really sort of kept it as his...
If I would have never found out about it, and I found out about it, that he was lying, that...
No, that not that he's lying. Why not just let him have a little bit of this for his own private...
Well, I mean, it makes me so... Because I get, like, anxiety attacks. I get, like, everything known to man, and I have depression. It just exemplifies everything, and I overreact over it.
Okay.
Which
but,
I know.
But, Jennifer, you sort of know that this is you... You know, more than it is him. I mean, you have a lot of issues, involving your body image and stuff like that from the past.
And maybe
you should focus on that instead of focusing on the things that trigger those feelings.
But telling him how you feel.
Yes, he should
about
still be
it.
Very, very right. cautious with exposing you to this material or anything about this. And he needs to keep it. You need to expect that he will do some of this. But that it should be done very discreetly, and he should pay very close attention to keeping you from being exposed to it.
Yeah. It's in the, you know what's embarrassing? How are you doing now? How much do you weigh? How do you look?
Well, actually, I just started taking medicine. I just gained, like, 30 pounds.
Okay,
so.
But he's into you, right?
Yeah.
He gives you some sex,
but
right?
But he's into everybody else, too, though.
No, he's fat. Does he have sex with other people?
He just checks out other people, other girls.
Yeah.
And it just... gets under my skin.
All right. Well, look. Here's the reality. If he's a horrible guy and he won't listen to you, then break up. But if these are your issues, then you need to work on them.
Yeah, there is. I don't know of any males that don't.
No.
That do nothing.
Let me tell you too. This internet is a trap too. I just I can't work the computer well. I'm not into computer porn because I'm not in. I'm into porn, but I'm not into computers. It's like as much as I love porn, as much as I hate computers. But I actually was on the internet.
You finally overcome the barrier.
Yeah, and I was just sort of.
Oh, well, this could be the beginning of something big.
Just sort of poking around, and I thought to see what's going on in the porn section. And the computer traps you because you're just cruising, looking at some general porn, and all of a sudden something pops up that says. Teens with huge cans comes on, and you're like...
But sometimes it's not even that. It's just, well, how are pickles made?
And
you go on it, and
you're
it's...
You're there. Right.
Yeah.
But this said teens. This said, like, busty teenagers, which I don't know a man who can not click on a thing that pops up the size of a coaster, says busty teenagers, when he's sitting alone in his house on a Saturday. So I pop it on, and it's like, this is no good. And I go back, and then... Then later on, you know, my wife says, cruising the busty teen sites. And it's like, there's a difference between
cruising
punching
it.
In busty teens and somebody asking you if you want to see.
Oh, my God.
You know, but the word teen, teens really are bad.
Or did she get
stuff
coming
down the
stream?
I guess she checks it. Who the hell knows? I don't know what.
Oh, your wife is diabolical.
I don't know the computer well enough to mop up after
She's
my mess.
She's watching
you. Know?
She got your number now. This is good.
No kidding.
Yeah, and then once you go on one, then it's over. They're coming
and
at
you.
You
start getting bombarded.
Wait till you have kids. Wait till you have kids.
Yeah.
Oh, Adam.
Well, don't worry. I'll take care of them.
It's over.
I'll take care of them.
I'll
take care of them, but
good.
This is good. No, don't worry.
Oh, I'm not. Don't
Maggie,
worry.
Maggie?
Yeah.
I'm going to hire someone who knows kids and is very healthy. Maggie, you're 23.
Yeah.
What's up?
My fiance died in January 12th of this year. Mm. He died of a drug overdose. I woke up and I turned over in bed and he was blue. Mm. And, since it's happened, like, basically everybody blames me. Like, I've lost all of our friends. Like, nobody wants to talk to me.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Why does everyone blame you?
Because I was there.
And he overdosed on what drug?
A combination of almost everything.
And what drugs are you doing now?
I don't do any drugs. Since this has happened, I've stopped even taking my prescription.
What's your prescription?
Well, I was prescribed, I have endometriosis, and I was prescribed pain medication for that, and I was prescribed anxiety medicine.
All right, well, you're an addict also, Maggie.
Well, I've stopped since this has happened.
I know, but the point is, this is all that disease. And people around you were addicts too, right?
Yeah, everybody around us did this.
All right, well, it freaked everybody out that he died, and they want to put some blame on something. They see that disease and what it does to somebody, and they don't want to look at it. So they have to blame somebody.
His family blames me, like, I wasn't allowed to go to the funeral. And then just, like, my mom tells me every day that it's going to get easier, it's going to get better. It just seems like every day it gets harder.
Well, it's harder because you haven't done any work. You've stopped your drugs but not replaced it with anything.
I actually have. I've gotten a job since then.
No. Maggie, you really got to get some treatment. You've got to get some treatment.
What kind of treatment should I get?
Well, I'm not sure entirely what's going on with you, but you should see a psychiatrist who has a doctor that has experience treating addictions.
Well, let me ask a couple of questions.
I've never done any other drugs besides what I was prescribed, and I wasn't taking them abusively.
I thought you were taking drugs.
No, I wasn't. He died of a drug overdose.
She thinks she isn't. She sees it as, I'm doing just what the doctor told me to do.
But I thought before he OD'd, you guys were doing drugs together.
No, I wasn't doing them. He was a drug addict.
She was on prescribed medicines.
No, he wasn't. I was.
I know, but...
He was doing drugs.
Let's put it this way. Hey, Maggie, for endometriosis, no one should ever be on opiates more than 2 weeks.
Well, that's what a doctor prescribed.
I understand. I understand that, but that's addiction, okay?
Well, I was prescribed them. I didn't know that. I was taking them exactly the way I was prescribed.
No, it doesn't mean you're not an addict, though.
All right, hold on, Drew. Look, okay, hold on a second. Maggie's a mess, there's no doubt about it, and she sort of tracks like an addict and acts like an addict, but she's been traumatized.
Yep.
And, you know, just because her boyfriend was an addict doesn't make her an addict.
But I know Drew smells addict.
But I'm just saying, let's not staple the label to her until we hear a little more. There's no doubt she needs help. But Maggie,
yes, sir.
Here's the part I don't exactly understand. I mean, I do kind of understand everyone's a druggie and everyone needs a martyr. But just your boyfriend is a drug addict.
Well, he was, yeah.
Was a drug addict. Your fiance.
Yeah, he was.
You're not a drug addict.
No, I don't do anything. No.
Your boyfriend ODs one night and dies, and everyone blames you?
Yeah, because I was there, and they say that I should have saved him.
Well,
when he ODs in his sleep?
Yeah.
I don't.
Sounds like they need some Al-Anon.
I don't understand it either.
Well, there's something missing here, because he should not.
I fell asleep. I woke up 2 hours later, and he was blue.
I know.
You're not seeing the big picture.
There's something missing here that you're not telling us.
I'm telling you this exact story of what happened.
Or you're not seeing.
All right. And hold on. Did Anne have to drop off the Skittles and the Sprite with 10 seconds left in the break?
Excuse me?
All right. I know. That's my fault. All right. So listen, Maggie, get some help.
Maggie,
I'm just asking, usually when somebody passes away like that, like, when does it start to get easier? Because I have, like, extremely bad nightmares.
It takes a long time, and it takes longer if you don't get help for yourself.
I imagine you have some trauma in your history when you're growing up, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
What kind of trauma?
Just physical abuse.
And a little sexual abuse, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so you got to get help for that.
That's where your
I already have had help for that.
No, not enough.
I was in counseling for 4 years for that.
Well, get that person back. Whoever that was, get them back on the phone. Talk to them about what's going on now. Because now you're having a post-traumatic stress reaction to this current trauma, and you've activated some addiction on top of that. And so this needs to be dealt with professionally. It's not going to get better if you don't.
I can never figure out if people are just horrible or people aren't telling us all of the story, and I always assume it's just people aren't telling us all of the story, but anyway.
See the rest of the story.
Trauma survivors, they do a lot of blaming. They don't see what their component was,
right.
They contributed.
Well, it's bad times anyway you slice it, but get back into treatment, get some help, and then that's your only choice, your only alternative.
That's it.
All right, Deborah Falconer is our guest tonight. Deborah, do you have a brother name like Chet? Or Duke,
My dad's name is Henry. Hank
Falconer.
Yeah.
Not bad, but Duke Falconer.
Duke.
You got a sheriff there. Duke Falconer.
Hank Falconer. That's pretty.
Hank's solid.
That's pretty.
Henry
solid.
Falconer's a little bit British.
Yeah, Henry but Falconer. Hank is, yeah, but straight Hank, up Hank's straight Midwest. Up. But that's more driving a truck.
How about Wyatt?
Wyatt Falconer.
That's my grandfather.
Well, that's solid.
And Edna was my grandmother.
And Edna's a little feminine.
And they lived in Montana,
feminine.
Right?
Oh, no. They lived in Sacramento, but they're from Oklahoma.
Sacramento was my second choice.
I'm just saying, Duke Falconer. That's strong.
Maybe I'll name my next kid Duke. I could nickname Indio Duke.
Yeah, Jared. Jared would be strong, too. Or Jeb. Jeb Falconer.
Jebediah
Falconer.
Jeremiah.
All right.
Jebediah.
All right. I'm gonna examine the possibilities. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Deborah Falconer is our guest tonight. Got a CD coming out. Tomorrow, actually, or maybe just in an hour or so. Brave Like Me is the name of the CD.
How do you get that CD?
CDBaby.com.
CDBaby.com. It's not That's available right. in stores yet? Or?
It will be shortly.
All right. Well,
you can still get it on the website now, though.
That's you want to get it early and often.
Yeah, you got to get it early.
And often.
And often, yeah. Two yeah. or three copies.
Yeah.
In case one breaks.
Billy?
Yeah.
You're 25?
I'm 25, yeah.
What's up?
I wanted to compliment Deborah on her CD. I like the song. Just,
thank you very much.
And your guys' show rocked.
Thanks, Billy. Oh, Billy was a problem with, you want to know why guys who are a-holes get rewarded when nice guys who are sensitive don't in the
yeah.
women department.
It's a mistaken identity. You're calling something nice that's not exactly nice.
It's unfortunately, it's like saying... It's sort of like mistaking weakness for niceness.
Yes, yes. Or lack of availability for niceness. Being deferential to niceness.
Nice is a guy who could kick your ass, not kicking your ass.
Right.
But nice isn't apologizing when you think you're going to get beat up.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it does for guys. And
yeah.
I know it sounds cruel, but women sense, and you can tell us... Deborah's a
sense
hot model, she knows what women think.
Yeah.
How they think, yeah.
They sense unavailability and go for it in
yeah.
a man.
Yeah.
But that's more of a daddy issue, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, that's a dad. I mean, here's the whole thing with women. There's many issues. And the dad, the daddy issue is a big one for women. And I don't know that there is a daddy issue that makes them like sort of soft guys that are pliable and accommodating, at least at the beginning. There's no daddy issue that attracts them to that guy.
Women like nice men.
Yes,
but
they do.
But if they are truly can present a piece of themselves emotionally to the relationship, and a guy who is like sort of not completely present and not available and busy sort of peddling backwards, you know, trying
yeah.
to make things okay. That doesn't work.
Well, there's also...
It might work for a second.
Not even at the beginning, though. It doesn't get you in. It doesn't draw you in. I mean, I think there's a biology at work here, which is no matter how we've screwed it up over the years in our society, there's a sort of biology at work, which is the male is the dominant one. Ultimately,
he's the hunter.
He's the guy... Women want a guy who says, I know what I'm doing, I've done this before, come with me and you'll be safe and it's going to work out.
Oh, Adam, I love you.
See that? Grab those Skittles, baby. Give me a little warm-up on the coffee if you could.
As opposed
light,
to...
Light on creamy. Yeah,
as opposed
a little sweet and a little... Not too much, you'll get bitter.
Never too much.
Right. That's what I love. As opposed to the guy who says, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? It's
yeah, you want to take charge, man.
Or, by the way, as opposed to how men look for and are attracted to women.
Right.
Men are looking for easy pickings.
Right. Women aren't.
Men are looking for the injured one, the one hanging with the broken leg at the back of the pack.
Right. I figured it out. Here's what women want. Women want, at the beginning of the relationship, I mean, at least when they meet, they want the guy to say...
Follow me.
Follow me. Deborah, yeah. I know a great Italian place. I know the owner. I know the chef. It's a great place. Trust me. I'll pick you up at 8. You're going to love this place. That's what they want. Now, 2 years in the relationship, they want, where do you want to eat, honey?
Two years?
2 months okay. in the relationship. They want what movie do you want to see? Where do you want to do? You lead. But at the beginning, they want the guy going, I know this place up in the Palisades. I'll pack us a picnic basket. I'll pick you up at noon.
Let's go to get a symbolic structure here. What they want is a guy with big nuts that clang, and then later they want to lock them off. Yeah, they want to own them.
Not necessarily. You still want them to keep them.
Right. You want the big huevos. But
on your terms.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well,
let's take a break.
All right, we got to take now. Deborah is supposed to just do the first hour, but and I don't know how she feels about breaking into the next 20 minutes of the show. All right, can you hang out? Are you cool?
Well, now that I love you,
somewhere?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now that you know about that Italian restaurant.
I'll tell you what, Deborah, during the break, I'm going to go in there and take a leak. I command you to sit here and sip Sprite.
I'll do it.
All right. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Engineer Anderson likes to sort of conduct the band when he's back in the studio, and part of it means he takes his hand and he goes like pow and stuff like that, which always makes me think I'm on the air.
So no, he's just banging his head, basically.
Yeah. That's a little false alarm. That's cool. Gets me into my game.
Gaslighting.
Deborah Falconer is our guest tonight. Deborah's got a CD out called Brave Like Me, which is out and about, technically it's out in about an hour.
Yeah.
And you can get it on cdbaby.com. Now, you know, if we had a kid, Deborah,
yeah.
we would keep your last name and we'd name the kid Sky. Sky Falconer. That's a good name.
Sky Falconer.
Yeah.
Except you screw it all up with the Corolla at the end.
No, we wouldn't hyphenate.
Oh,
we
just
Sky
goodness.
C Falconer, maybe?
Yeah, Sky C Falconer.
Then why Sky? Because it's just like the falcon,
just something
bird
about the falcon. Yeah.
The sky.
Yeah, the freedom of that, man.
It's very Native American.
Yeah, get into that. Yeah.
Very 70s, dude.
Yeah. And it'll make the kid wear one of those dream catchers on his head. Hanging down like a lampshade.
Like a collar.
Yeah,
like a vest.
You'd have to move the beads out of the way in order to talk. It'd be rough at first. Probably choke on it. But if he got past his infancy, it'd be great. It'd make him stronger. That
it'd
much
be
stronger.
Beautiful.
It'd be beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Tommy?
Yes, sir.
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
You're in love with a girl since the 7th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And she just got dumped by boyfriend.
Yes.
What do you mean you've been in love with her since 7th grade?
Well, since 7th grade, I just, you know, that's always the girl I kind of wanted to be with.
Have you been obsessing about her?
Not obsessing, it's just mm-hmm. I had my other girlfriends, but just now that she finally broke up with her boyfriend, I want to be with her.
Why haven't you been with her?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's usually a good reason why.
Well, she has been with her boyfriend for the past 5 years, 4 years, so. And there really wasn't
four
a chance
years.
For me to.
All right.
How about for the 2 years?
It's probably more like 3 years.
No, and, she's been with this guy since about freshman year in high school.
Okay, now why... How is it that you guys have kept in touch a few years out of high school?
Well, we've always kind of kept in touch. We've been through our own, like, personal stuff together. Whenever I was having my problems in junior high and high school, she was the one I would call to get through them. And
magically, they've kept in touch, Adam. What do you think?
He's kept in touch.
Of course.
Now, how often does she call you, Tommy?
About once, twice a week.
Once or twice a week?
Yes.
All right.
I mean, she picks up the phone when you dial her phone number.
No, she'll
she calls,
call me.
She calls you back, or she initiates the call?
She'll initiate the call.
All right. Do you think she likes you?
I think she does.
Are you her friend?
I am her friend.
Let me ask if something's possible, though, and I fear that Tommy's not going to like this answer,
okay.
But I'll ask Deborah. She's a beautiful woman, a singer, former elite model, so she knows what women think. She knows how women think, I should say. Can you be friends with a guy for, you know, 7 years and really be into him and not
and
let
never
on,
reveal.
Never reveal?
No, you're always revealing it.
It seems too long. Even if you have a
even
boyfriend.
Even if it never really comes to be, you're always revealing it.
You give some sort of
indication,
message.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're spending time with the guy,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be some fairly, and at a certain point, probably not so subtle indicators
so
that she's into you.
Turn over the cards now. What does it mean when you don't show any indication? And
it probably means that you're just friends.
Yeah.
And there's a reason you're just friends. Hmm?
Tommy? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think guys think that we are the ones who push things along, or we will reveal to them, or they're sort of in this state of suspended animation,
yeah,
waiting for us to make our move.
They're
orchestrating. And women
untrue,
are orchestrating,
yes,
it all.
If they're attracted to you, if they're into you, if they have a crush on you, they will let you know it.
Even if there's a possibility, just because they need a bullpen.
Right, right. So, Tommy?
Yes.
We're suspicious that she hasn't let you know that thus far.
Okay.
And she hasn't, has she?
Well, she hasn't come out and said, yeah, I want to be with you, I like you, but
no. No, I know, but don't...
Is she constantly flirting with you?
No.
Yeah, I mean, put it this way. If a woman likes you, she'll make excuses to touch you.
Okay.
I don't mean handies. That comes later. And then goes away because it's unnecessary at a certain point. But, I mean, they do that, oh, you're so funny, and they put their hand on you.
Yeah, you're so good.
Or they drag. You know what they do? They drag. We haven't gotten into this
drag,
in a little while.
The hand just sort of lingers.
Hand lingers. Watch. I'm going to do it on Deborah.
Is it that obvious?
Yeah, they go like this. They go, oh, is that? And then they touch your shoulder. And then as they pull away, there's just they drag as opposed to clump.
Which then opens the door to always touch you every time.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's all. It's,
yeah, Tommy, we're all betting that it's been long enough. She would have showed her cards, and she's not really into you. Doesn't mean you can't give it one shot.
Expect her to be a little freaked out, too, a little bit put off.
Okay.
And make sure if you do show your hand, you do it gently.
Okay.
But just say, look, we're still your friends, but just, you need to know, I got these feelings.
But be prepared. And here's the other thing, too, and I think this is your only shot, actually. It will weird her out if you get into that, I've been into you since the seventh grade thing.
No.
You
can't do that.
You have to do this. Oh, man, this would work. This would work. Watch. Debra, you tell me if this would work. I mean, it wouldn't necessarily, if she's not into you, she's not into you. But your only shot is this shot, which is, you know, I thought you're great, and I thought we're just friends, and I loved being around you, and it was really your personality and your spirit that attracted me to you, and you had your boyfriends, and I had my girlfriends, and it was all great, but, you know, as I got to know you, I started to see another side of you, and you got to make it like it's recent. It's not like it's not been festering for 4 years, but, you know, I broke up with Sheila, and you broke up with Duke Falconer. MD, and as I was just driving the other day, and you kept coming into my mind, and I thought, you know what?
Maybe there's
something here. You want to grab a bite or get a cup of coffee? That's about it. It's like it has to be born from I wasn't into you, and it has to be a recent revelation. But if it's like you're sitting around biding your time and stewing, it's not going to work.
Maybe
right?
Oh, but I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not. Then it gives her to go, yeah, well, maybe not. Or
yeah, just pull it away.
Pull
it off the table. And then you got a great way to renew things in about 3 years when things go stale. You go, I was in it since I was in seventh grade. I got to tell you the truth now.
Right.
Then
right.
Boom, you're in again.
Right. All right, so that's the only shot you have. But if it weirds her out, you got to move on. And you can't. Yeah. And you have to take any answer she gives other than, fine, let's go out, as a no. You know, if she gets that,
it must
like,
be explicit.
Tommy,
yeah.
You're a great guy, no, just, but
oh,
I just feel like no, that's just
gotta
no.
Have a relationship. That's yeah, always the
right.
That's the game.
Just, and by the way,
you're such a great friend.
What kind of refractory period does a woman need if she's really into the next guy?
None.
Answer zero, right?
Yes.
Like women will, just like a guy would. If you met someone that knocked your socks off 10 minutes after you broke up with somebody. Hey, you might not be as in love with them as you would have if you had broken up with the person a year ago, but you're still going out with them, right?
Yeah,
don't even have to do that because they've got three lined up.
Yes.
They got a bullpen.
Women will see that this...
Have you been listening to mine and Robbie's conversations?
Yeah, that's how it works. It's like this cab ride is starting to coast to a stop. I got to start looking around and see.
I got to
hop onto another cab. Thank you.
It's
well, not on.
Like
not on. I got to get in. I got to climb it. I got to get the meter going. No, but it's true that if a woman, let's say a woman is in a relationship and it's been going on for a few years, and it's starting to head a direction and it's winding down for whatever reasons. Mm-hmm. It's just you can tell when a relationship is starting to wind down, mm-hmm. especially when you're younger. You're in yeah. your early
20s. Yeah.
And there's some guy at work and he's cute and he's showing you some attention and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, you open up, you close one door and
right.
it opens up. Not that that means it's going to work out, but your heart's...
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Your heart knows. It's not quite as ruthless as that.
No.
Always. Sometimes
no.
it is.
No.
Yes, it is.
A couple of times. Yeah.
Me
yeah.
too.
You know how you know what happens? It's like when you're saying to yourself, "We broke up it hasn't even been 3 days she's seeing somebody. Like, how do you meet somebody in 3 days? Well, you don't. There was a guy at work who's been asking out for 4 months who you've been sort of keeping out there, not quite saying no, but not quite saying yes, and you said yes because technically you're broken up now. Tanya?
Guys do that too.
Yeah,
no,
they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
They don't have the capacity for that.
Guys,
yes, they do.
Yeah. They would if they could.
They did.
Maybe those A-list celebrities you date do, but the regular salt-of-the-earth type like myself?
No, I have salt-of-the-earth type does it too.
Men of extreme passion like Drew? We don't
Drew might not do that.
Tanya?
Yeah.
You're 33?
Uh-huh.
Where else is salt mined from other than the earth, Drew? I mean, is just salt good enough?
Salt of the earth?
Salt of the sea. Salt of... I mean, I guess you get salt from the sea. Yeah, you don't need the earth.
Where did
earth.
That come from?
All right.
Salt...
Don't need it.
What?
Tanya?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
My partner's son, he's 17, and I'm having a lot of problems with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's causing a lot of friction in our relationship.
You say your partner...
Uh-huh.
Female?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right.
We've been together for 2 years.
Your girlfriend's son, all right?
Yeah, my girlfriend's son.
He's 17.
Uh-huh, he's 17.
How old is your girlfriend?
She's 36.
And what's mm-hmm. What's the son doing?
He's lazy. I don't know how else to put it. He's extremely lazy, won't do anything, won't pick up after himself.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. He's depressed. A 17-year-old that stops being able to get off a couch is either smoking a lot of pot and or very depressed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's something that needs evaluation. Is his grade starting to fall off, too?
Actually, he's being homeschooled right now.
Oh.
And because he decided he didn't want to go to school anymore.
No.
This has been a long, ongoing problem. It's been ever since he's grown up.
Was Dad kind of abusive with him?
Dad was never in the picture. My partner's girlfriend was always in the picture before me.
Uh-huh. You think he's angry at your old lady?
I think he's angry funny. At me.
He's taking it out on you, but... I guess a 17-year-old boy would have mixed feelings or more than mixed feelings about being raised in a lesbian relationship. Do you think there's some residual anger from that?
He seems pretty open towards it.
Yeah, I don't really. It's not that so much as the absence of the dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The dad abandoning and all that.
No, but I guess
abandoned.
Was never around though, right?
He was the donor.
He was just a donor.
Oh, wow. This is old school.
Yeah.
Or new school.
New school.
Old school.
New
this
school.
Is old new school.
Yeah.
This is new old less. So, okay, but I guess what I'm saying is I got to believe that a son would be angry, for lack of a better term, to some degree at mom for just saying, you know, I'm made fun of at school or people, you know. This whole life of mine of having to sort of deal with your relationship and the stigma,
makes it tough
the stigma
on me, yeah.
and all that kind
it
of stuff.
Even other than that, it could be straight up mom kid relationship that's,
problems. Yeah,
yeah, not there's, even have to do the lesbian.
Yeah, there's
stuff.
Just about every 17-year-old guy I knew in high school was not doing what his parents wanted him to do. The beauty of their parents didn't care as far as
yeah, but
my
you hung out
went.
With drug addict and depressed guys.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, that's what I did exclusively.
Yeah.
So, well, Tanya,
uh-huh.
and you're in a horrible position because you really can't do anything.
And I'm stuck here alone with him. Just recently kicked him out.
Oh, really?
I put him in our RV. We have a 27-foot travel trailer, and I put him in there.
It's like your stepmom.
Yeah, you're going to open that door, and you're going to hit with a tidal wave of semen. He's in there beating himself to death right now.
Right?
There's
nowhere else to go.
You know, they got a toilet in there.
Yeah.
My stepmom sent me out to the garage when I was 17.
And there he stayed.
And then decided to kick me out of the garage at 18 and a half. It was like, I don't need him in that garage anymore. We want to park the cars in there.
Jesus Christ.
My dad's such a puss. I just got together a couple of friends and just got a crappy apartment in North Hollywood. I mean, here's the whole thing, though. I guess the question is I think we can all sort of agree that boys especially need a little tough love if there's no clinical depression. And I don't know how you decide that.
Well, I think it's no boundaries with him.
Yeah.
He honestly believes that when he comes into the house, he can sit down, watch TV, lay food on the floor, do anything he wants to.
All right, he needs to get his ass together and just get an apartment and move out.
He's 17. But mom's having a f*** about it.
All right, well.
I mean, flipping.
This is a no-win situation for Tanya. It's just bad. Somebody's going to have to, this guy needs like a drill sergeant to come pull him out of bed and motivate him.
Or he needs
a therapist. Or
medication.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. All right. Why don't you tell your partner that this guy may be depressed
or smoking a ton of weed
and needs to be evaluated?
I've talked to her about the marijuana thing because I bought a drug test for him because I truly believe that was what was going on.
Yeah.
She's in total denial.
Well, either way, it needs to be taken out of her hands. Absolutely.
I would hire a hobo to kill him. I mean, that's what I would do. If I had some smart ass 17-year-old who was just sitting around eating my food all day, with his feet up on my table, and you know the kid's angry.
Of course.
And he's angry at Tanya. And Tanya is probably playing the more male role of the lesbian relationship, and he doesn't want to listen to her. Mm-hmm. And this is a disaster. I think you just got to get the guy out of the house.
I think you got to get him some treatment.
What treatment? All right.
I was just thinking about your hobo power the other day.
Hmm.
We haven't talked about
hobo
that in a long time.
Yeah, I was trying.
She's going to be. Deborah's going to be disappointed.
Well,
power to the hobos.
No, not like that. What I mean is what Drew's saying is there's units of measurement for almost everything, like
horsepower.
There's BTUs. British thermal units for heat. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of things there's ohms and things like that as it pertains to electricity. But there's no unit of measurement for stink.
For stink.
For bad smells.
Body stink?
Any bad smell.
Okay.
Putrid smells.
Okay.
Fart, dying jellyfish that washed up on the beach and is decomposing. There's no stink measurement. And people go like, oh, it was rank, or it stunk like hell, or I wanted to vomit, but it still doesn't give you...
No quantitative measure.
Yeah, what I mean is if a guy's talking about...
No international standard.
Yeah, if a guy... international standard, right. Yeah. If a guy's saying, a car, oh, it's powerful. You go, how many horsepower? Oh, it's peppy.
So the
you know, you
want to
know how much, right?
It's 400 horsepower. Whoa!
Right. The unit is hobo power, which is, 10 hobos, I think was the maximum. Smells like 10 hobos.
I think it'll be 100 hobo power.
All right, 100 hobos.
These days, you get up to 100.
Smell like 100 hobos. So now we would know, like, if you said, well, this guy ripped a fart in the elevator, what was it? 33 hobo power. You'd know right where he was. You'd go.
But what would be one hobo power?
I haven't worked that out.
Okay.
I haven't worked that out.
Yeah, the actual unit has
smelly,
been.
We would work it out to the point where it's
smelling
like.
Street.
Yeah, one
New York
one
in the summer.
One horsepower isn't one horse pulling something.
Right.
We don't,
it's
you know,
a unit.
It just becomes a unit. But yeah, I agree with Deborah.
We have to have an understanding that a subway station urine smell is about five hobo.
Five hobo. Yeah. Five hobo.
We
but
all agree that
August
five.
In August,
it
can go to seven.
Go up to seven,
eight,
seven and a half, eight.
Yeah.
But then a guy drops a 33 bomb in an elevator. I mean, we all have sympathy for who was in there.
33 bomb.
Yeah. How many? How many HPs went down on this chick the other night? She had a yeast. How many HPs we talking about, Bruce? 17. Oh, Christ.
Not like that 33 in the elevator, though.
I had 15 once in college, and I thought that was the most. Oh, no. No. You have not lived till you've smelled 17.
There needs to be 50 is vomit. You vomit at 50 hobo power.
You pass out. It's
89.
Yeah, 89. 89. You're rendered unconscious. Unconscious.
99. You stop breathing.
Breathing. You die. 100. You die. 100. You die. No one's reached it. Yeah, no one's reached it.
It's absolute zero. Hobo power. It's absolute zero. Yeah, yeah.
No one has actually seen 100 hobo power and lived to talk about it. That's what it is. Yeah. So now we know.
Now we know.
Right. And you could, you can even be casual. Like, you could hop into someone's car and say, yeah, it's like, smells like 3 hobo power in here. And they'd know, oh, yeah, I should get one of those air fresheners.
Yeah. A New York cab would be 1 hobo power.
It could vary. Yeah, it could vary.
Some of those guys up front there bring up to 5.
Back
up to the subway.
Yeah. It can range between 3 and 7. But it could actually be like... Like, it could be what is acceptable. Like, these LA Unified School District bathrooms are at 9 hobo power.
We got to call the health department.
We got the national standard is 3.5. We got to get these down. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I've had this room. Drew, you had this room up to 8.5 last night with that cheese you broke.
I've gotten up to 48. I nearly blew.
No. You flatter me. You mid-30s.
Next caller!
You're right. I exaggerate. You're right.
Arissa?
Right. Caller goes by Arissa.
She's been sleeping, maybe? For 61 minutes. Oh.
61 minutes she's been on hold?
She's the one of our... Yeah. Well, here's the one, 102. Oh, no, that was the one we just talked to, 102.
Arissa has a horrible problem there with coworkers and girlfriend molested her. Jeez. All right, we'll get back to her see if she's
no, no,
all right.
No.
You don't want to talk to Michelle?
No, let me take a break.
All right,
You can promote this one.
All right, Michelle? Oh, yeah, it's another Michelle.
Hi.
You're 18?
Mm-hmm.
Your line seems bad. Are you on a...
You're in the bath?
You on a landline?
No, I'm on a cell phone. Sorry.
All right, we got to put you on hold. All right?
Okay.
All right. Wait, you can't get off a cell phone once you're on the cell phone calling this show, can you?
No.
All right. Deborah Falconer's our guest tonight. Deborah is cutting out, although you can stay. I mean, I'm enjoying myself. But, you want to hang out?
I'll hang out.
Yeah, you hang out. We'll give you a little plug on the new CD, and I'll tell you that's coming out in just about 45 minutes or so. Take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Deborah Falconer is our guest tonight. She's got herself a new CD coming out tomorrow. Brave Like Me is the name of it. And if you're interested in obtaining it, you can go to cdbaby.com. That's cdbaby.com. All right, let's... get back
to the
phones
here. We were talking
about
hobo power before.
We were, but...
The break.
We got to get to some calls tonight.
All right. Go ahead.
Wes?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, man?
You're 23. What's going on?
Yeah, I just want to comment on the hobo power, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
50 hobo power. I had my buddy in my car, and it was so bad that he had to vomit.
50 hobo power.
Because you got to the 50 hobo power?
I got there.
And you would vomit at 50.
Did you have to roll the window up and turn the heat on and all that? Or did it was just natural 50?
No, it was just natural.
Non-aspirated 50.
Really? Naturally aspirated 50, huh? That's hard to do. Like, I've been in a car with Jimmy when he's hit 50, but he does turn the heat up and he locks the windows. And I know what else he does is he now locks the doors because I will open the door. That's how I'm going
to
die.
Trying to vomit on yourself.
Trying to escape one of Jimmy's farts, yeah.
He was actually trying to get out before we hit the parking lot, and I was like, what's going to happen right now? And he's like, just out the door.
And vomit.
Wow.
We're impressed. Good job. Good time.
Yeah. That is a feather in your cap, and I'm going to add it to my list of diving in the water with the knife and having the cape removed, making someone vomit through passing gas. But the stipulation is they couldn't be loaded or seasick or something.
Car sick.
That's straight vomit.
Yeah.
No. Straight sober vomit.
You have to cause the nausea.
Right.
It's a pure 50.
Yeah. Right.
Pure 50.
Yeah. Jeez, I don't know. Like, you know, my ass has probably got a max of about 42 on it, and to push 50 would really be difficult.
I've seen some real nice efforts.
You just flattered me in front of Deborah. Come on, Drew. Really,
it's getting. I had a few.
You had like a dry heat.
Yeah, a little herpy action. Yeah.
Michelle. Uh oh. Now is Michelle?
There she is.
Sorry.
This is not a cell phone.
You're 18.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Well, the other day, I lost my virginity with my husband.
You lost your virginity, yes.
Mm-hmm. The only thing is nothing broke.
Mm-hmm.
You're 18.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily happen at 18.
No hymen broke.
Yeah, you're fine.
What do you mean?
It doesn't mean anything. You don't necessarily break anything at 18.
What, but were you able to have unobstructed intercourse?
Yeah.
Oh, you were. All right. Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
That's good times. That's good times. You're calling from Anchorage?
Yeah.
And what kind of guy? Is this your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it was okay?
Well, that's the only thing. The other thing is I'm really not very happy about it.
Why not?
I'm not. I don't think I'm ready for it.
You're 18.
Yeah.
That's sort of a normal age.
Plus, in Anchorage, people lose it like 9, 10, right?
Well, that's true, but still.
Yeah. Yeah.
You pansy!
Yeah. All right.
All right, your phone's screwed up, so we're going to hang up on you. But you're 18. You lost your virginity. Your hymen probably broke in some sort of moose goring accident or something. I don't know what goes on in Alaska, Drew. Imagine
moose.
A moose.
Moose walk boring. Right down the street.
Moose will get
they walk
to,
down the street in the middle of Anchorage.
Everybody gets gored by moose before they're 15, right?
Either that, or they have a sort of a hard landing on one of those crazy aircraft that they fly around.
Yeah, that's where the
impaled.
One of those puddle jumpers.
But they don't even land on. Some of them have these big fat wheels on. They land on fields and things, fjords. And
tough
stuff.
Landing.
That can break a hymen.
Yeah.
There's a few different ways. There's gored by a moose. There's a tough landing on the puddle jumper, and then there's that Eskimo blanket thing where they throw you up in the air. That's how my sister lost her hymen, or so she says. I thought it was a little weird because we're from North Hollywood, but it was like, I didn't want to, you know, we're at the table.
Your sister, come on.
Yeah, cut her some slack. Really? I don't know. You knew what seal skins woven together were. All right. Where are we going here?
Five.
Wet moose, Drew. Deborah, hobo power, wet moose.
Never a witness smelled that.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Moose flop's got to be up there on 20 hobo.
moose flop could be, but it's, you know, there's cat flop is horrible, and then moose flop could be more like cow
flop.
It could
be worse than cat flop.
It could be like petunias or something. It could be actually
cat flop, hobo power, mid 30s, whereas cow is just single digits, 8, 7.5, 8, 9.
Oh,
right?
My goodness, there's like a decay factor, too, in terms of duration of hobo action.
Right. Wet moose.
The differential.
Use my imagination with the wet moose. I got to say low teens.
Have you talked about wet moose and moose goring?
Yeah.
That's
we don't
it's a visual.
About.
It's not good
we
for
talk
me.
About that every night.
Okay.
Steve?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
I had sex with this girl this last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't use a condom,
mm-hmm.
and it was pretty much like one of my first times. And
pretty much like one of your first times, or your first time.
First time.
Thank you.
Like guys are sort of be casual about it.
Like pretty much kind of like.
It's pretty close. To, yeah. All right.
I asked her if she had any kind of like diseases or anything, and she asked me, and I said no, and she said no. So
That's awesome.
I have like. Like, the next morning, I heard that, I looked at my penis and I had, like, these red bumps on it.
Next morning?
Red bumps?
Like, the next day, like, I noticed it, like, in the day. The next day.
Can you describe them?
they're just like little red bumps. Like, not bumps like a lot, but like little, it would look like a rash kind of.
This could be bogus.
Yeah.
It would be bogus except for the part where the stumbling with the virginity part, which makes you sort of human. But, Drew, what the hell shows up? I mean, we're talking about less than 24 hours later.
Very occasionally herpes can have a real rapid turnaround. Usually it's up to 2 weeks, but occasionally it will pop up pretty quick.
Did you know this girl?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I had sex before with her, but with the condom.
Oh, you had?
Before that, yeah.
All right. Is this your girlfriend?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
You see how frustrating it is to talk to you?
Yeah.
You smoke a lot of pot?
No, this
is not pot. This is not pot.
No, that isn't. That's just like I'm so lazy I can't finish a word.
Yeah.
I start to think a word, I get 3 syllables into it, and then I just go. Okay, so Steve.
Does it hurt, these things?
No, they don't hurt.
Right, well, herpes hurts or burns. It always does.
It was actually like just itching.
Well, herpes can itch.
And maybe it's just a little irritation. And use a condom.
Maybe it's a flea bite.
But you got to get somebody to look at it because it really is impossible to know what's going on unless you can see the lesion.
Plus, if he got herpes, he would get for the first time.
Yeah, pretty intense.
He'd get like a fever and a bad outbreak and stuff.
At least
right?
Back pain and headache and feels crappy.
Steve.
Yeah.
Okay. What you do? Give it a few days.
No. Somebody needs to see it. No. Find a paranoid if you want. Your doctor.
Such a pain in the ass bringing your pecker into a place.
Pull it on in.
Pull it on in.
I had to go show mine to some angry lesbians in Santa Monica when I was poor. It's horrible. Just standing there with your pants down while a parade of angry lesbians at the clinic go through there.
Did they shame you?
Yeah, they shamed me.
They did.
And it's weird. You don't want to be uptight. But they leave and your pants are still down. And you're like, excuse me, ma'am.
Ma'am.
Could I pull my pants back up? Oh, yeah, sure. You can get. Like, doctors forget to tell you. Yeah, go ahead and put your goddamn underpants back on that you've been dying to pull back up for the last 20 minutes. And they'll leave.
Yeah.
Drew, you tell people as soon as they can get those pants back up to pull them up, right?
Yeah.
Not angry lesbians, though.
Yeah, they were Santa Monica. Oh, free clinic. It was the clinic my girlfriend used to go to. Just go in there.
Stripper?
Yeah. Going to the angry lesbian clinic over there. That'd be fine. Oh, so it sucks not having money. Amber?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah. You don't have money. It's just like get in line for humiliation. Just get in line. Go try to see if you can rent a car with no credit card. See if you can get some medical attention without any money or any insurance. Life sucks when you're poor. Amber?
Yeah, hello?
You're 19. What's up?
I just got out of a really long relationship with my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
We were together for about a year. And we're still friends right now. But the problem is that, I don't really know how to put it. Through the relationship, I hung out with him all the time. So...
Yeah.
His friends kind of became my friends, too. And
so you're into one of his friends?
Yeah.
Okay.
And how long have you been broken up?
What?
How long have you been broken up?
About a month.
How close is he to this guy?
It's not really his friend.
Yeah. Just how close? Is he close to this guy or not?
No, but all of his friends are.
All right, well, there you go.
And when you say month, do you mean 2.5 weeks or do you mean 35 days?
About exactly a month.
30 days.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's not going to be great for him, but, what are you going to do?
You can also keep it kind of on the sly for a few months, too.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Does a guy like you?
I'm pretty sure.
Why? How do you know that?
We've ran into each other,
girls are so much better.
Yeah, they know. Ugh. They know.
So much better at assessing that than males.
You just know, right?
Yeah, and his friends told him basically to just accept the fact that something might happen between us.
Your ex-boyfriend?
That's a nice little heads up for him.
It's your ex-boyfriend, right?
No, my ex-boyfriend, he's just really still in love with me.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, who? So you broke up with him?
Yeah.
That's bad.
Did you break his heart?
Yeah.
Obviously.
And why did you break up with him?
I think we'd be better off as friends. I just don't feel the same way.
And there's no change in that. I mean, what you want is something you can undo. Meaning, you want to bang her sister.
As a guy.
You want to, you know, get thrown in jail.
Yeah.
You want to take a swing at her. You want something that you can apologize for or rectify. But if it's just ain't India anymore, there's nothing. It's like you can't fix something that's not broken.
Oh, but guys will still try.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Amber, this is going to be tough.
Yeah, you keep it on the QT. I want to be friends with him, but...
No.
He told me that as soon as I...
You want to be friends with him?
Yeah.
Don't you dare do that to him.
You'll torture him.
That's torture.
And we lived together for a while, so...
Whatever. He needs 6 months of no contact with you.
Yeah.
Then maybe...
You want to be friends with him? Send him over a whore.
I tried that, though.
You tried that?
You sent him over an eight ball and a whore.
You tried that?
No, I just think that he needs to... get his mind off me. He needs to find another girl, but
yeah.
He said that he does not want to be in a relationship for a very long time.
He's gonna be sitting outside her steps.
There is nothing worse than when a girl you're really pining for, who broke your heart, starts trying to set you up and give you advice on cruising chicks and stuff. It's like, it's so painful.
It's weird, yeah.
Yeah, and they're like...
there probably is not a more painful maneuver a woman could put it to.
Wear a condom, you know, especially if you're doing anal with her. You know, always wear a condom.
Here's what you need to do. Not talk to the guy. Stay away from him.
Yeah.
That's a compassionate thing to do. Yeah.
It really is. I mean,
that's the friendly thing to do.
It's like you hit your deer with a truck, and it's just on the road, and it's got two broken legs, and it's reeling in pain. Yes, the compassionate thing to do is to put a bullet in its head. That's sometimes the axe is the compassionate thing to do. And you killing it with a nail file is not, you know, slowly sawing away. That ain't the way to slowly killing something is not the way to go. You got to give it a nice zap of electricity. One shot of 100 hobo power. Pow. I would like a vial of 100 hobo power scent that I could use like my Kevorkian uses.
On relationships?
Yeah, if I ever needed it, my car was going off a high cliff, I could reach into my pocket and kill myself with the hobo power, or I could take my enemies out.
Yeah,
it'd be quick, painless death.
It'd be like biting a cyanide capsule, but you just put a little bag up to your mouth.
Yeah.
Your nose.
Yeah.
Would you vomit during that if you had to kill yourself?
That's a good
question.
Well,
they can only speculate.
Knows,
yeah. They can only speculate.
Yeah.
All right. Deborah Falconer, everybody. Go out and get the CD, Brave Like Me. It is out in about 18 minutes. CDBaby.com is the place to get it. Deborah, you were a delight. It was great to meet you.
Great to meet you.
You can finally leave.
Okay.
So we'll take a little break. Wait a minute. Anderson wants you to stay. Anderson, yes? Anderson, you know, because your friends are going to sleep, actually. All right, more break.
But they're in my car, so.
Yeah, feel bad. Anderson, quiet down. She's got to leave.
Trust me, one more break.
All right, one more. She said trust me. He said trust him, so.
I mean,
something's coming. Works for me.
I guess they one more break. Then. It'll be a fast
one. I'll do it.
All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Deborah Falconer is our guest tonight. Brave Like Me is the name of the new CD. We heard a cut off it and enjoyed it very much. It's going to be out tomorrow, which is going to be in just a couple of minutes. And if you want to find it, you can just go to cdbaby.com. Now, at the top of the show, we mentioned that Deborah was once married to Robert Downey Jr., who was on the show not too long ago.
Yeah,
and we found him a delightful, interesting guy.
Hmm.
I think I spoke to him off the air a couple of times too, but I can't remember what it was about. But he's calling in from Montreal. Is that true, Drew?
That's what the board says. I don't know.
Probably doing
Bunch
a movie
malarkey.
There. Hey, Robert.
Yeah, that's me.
Were you on a plane earlier? You're in Montreal now.
I am nowhere near Montreal.
Left the country.
But it could be.
where are you, Robert?
That's none of your damn business.
Come on.
I'm elusive, and I get to have privacy now.
All right.
Okay.
Whatever.
What's happening?
I'm calling. What are you guys? You guys hanging out with my old lady?
Yeah, she's
oh,
hot.
Christ. She used to be my girl.
Yeah, when are you coming back on this show?
As soon as I'm directed to, probably when Deborah tells me to.
Deborah, tell them to come back on the show.
Come on back. We have some ideas for you.
Oh, good. This thing called Hobo Power.
Oh, yeah. You should see.
He's a professional I'm Hobo Power to the eighth.
Oh, really?
At any given time.
Oh, he can produce some good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Oh, my God. You know what I was thinking, honey? I was just remembering the good times and...
What? There's no way that was real.
Oh, those were the good times.
Is Robert a gassy guy? He's not a big man.
He's
you
a
know?
Very gassy guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we're impressed.
Yeah.
He can produce good hobo power.
Occasions, and you know,
there's no occasion
50?
That he won't
50.
Be gassy.
Deborah's very gifted in the art of
shaming him
combat.
for his
Oh, really?
That's not true.
Well, of course, usually on my birthday, I'd get, you know, knocked around a little bit.
Okay, this is a story that feels like it's never, ever, ever been really resolved. Okay, here's the story.
Yeah, let's hash it.
Do you want me to tell the real story, Robert?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I don't want to tell the real story because it doesn't cast me in a good light.
Exactly.
But there were several times when I laid out such thunderclaps under our, like, polo sheets that she literally came out of a dead sleep to administer a series of blows to my midsection.
40 hobo power.
Wow.
40 hobo power. She didn't vomit, though. No vomit?
No vomit.
No, 40 hobo power.
It was about 40, 45.
I liked Robert
great
before.
Or not, they've actually evolved into scatology. You know what I mean?
Yes. Thank you.
We made it an art.
Yes.
Hey, Dr. Drew, I am very much into your book.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate
really
that.
Really cool.
God bless you. Wow, put a lot into that.
That's a nice plug, Robert Downey Jr., reading Dr. Drew's book, and it's not even out yet, right?
Well, yeah, but I read the galleys. I want to say the gallows, but I thought that would be a little foreboding.
Yes.
Meanwhile,
cast
the
in
real
the wrong
thing
light.
Robert,
do you have a question about love or dating or sex that you'd like to post?
No, what is the real question you're about to ask, Robert?
The real question is, why does no one compare?
I have a question. We just had a caller where the girl was starting to get into telling her ex-boyfriend how to date and giving sort of this painful input about how he should
Robert
be conducted.
Robert thinks it's painful, too.
Right.
Do you do that to him?
Well, I've made a few suggestions. I've set him up with a few friends.
Robert, are you...
But it never... It's
It was.
Are you still pining for Deborah?
Well, there's.
Just answer the question.
I don't want to get back in.
I mean, what about the prospect of mommy and daddy getting back together?
If
what's so crazy about that?
Out of a dead sleep and said, chances one out of a thousand Vegas odds, you'd be like, absolutely none.
Let's
It'd
get
be like
together.
Name, rank,
yeah, yeah,
serial
yeah.
number, and no.
Yeah, what's wrong with Robert? I'd do him.
Okay.
Oh, bro, thank you.
Yeah.
I'd like to take a big poo on you.
Yeah.
Well, now that you...
There's the problem.
35 hobo power or better, my friend.
35? That's like zoom lens.
Robert, you can poo on me if you come into studio here with us shortly. Would be
Adam, I was going to plug something of yours, but you're kind of stagnant right now, aren't you?
Yeah, no, go ahead and plug something of mine. What do you got?
Plug of yours. Just who you are, bro.
Thanks.
You know?
What are you doing in Montreal?
Your essence.
He's not in Montreal.
Well,
I'm just
let's just pretend I am, because
okay.
It makes me sound more mysterious.
Okay.
I'm doing a film called Gothica. It's a ghost story, and it stars Halle Berry.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
And what about, like, directing and doing that kind of stuff? You have anything coming up with that?
I'm producing something in the fall. Yeah. I never thought I'd hear that phrase pass my lips because, you know, a producer actually has to almost have his act together. And the rest of the time, I have this bat phone and a pager that's connected to my testicles with a 9-volt battery, and I wait for Deb to text mail.
Yeah, Deb, you got to come around on Robert.
Yeah, I'm the problem.
The truth is, I really talk a good game. The fact that she has not taken a hacksaw to me is testament to her.
How long were you guys together?
come on, Drew.
He's curious.
It's too soon. 92 to 96, it says here.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, but you guys were married in 92. You met before then, right?
Yeah.
See, I thought it was still going on in 98. I didn't see, you know, the epitaph.
Right, right. Well, the point is you've had your highs and your lows. And when I say highs, I mean high.
When you
literally.
Say highs.
Yeah. But you're both on the upside now. You're on the straight and narrow. Things are looking good for both of you. Maybe it's time for a reconciliation, or maybe the craziness drew you together in the first place and that's all you had.
It was a lot more than that, but thank you for condescending to our path. You know what, though? It's so amazing. You're actually being optimistic.
Yeah.
Dude, what?
Me? Oh.
No, I like you, and I like Deborah, and I'm just...
What are you getting at, bro? You want to do a three-way, a three-way...
I'd like to use her as a shield to get to you so you can crap on me.
Dude, I don't even want to crap on you. I just want to lay a big water moccasin down on your carpet.
Oh, my God.
All right. Fair enough.
Dr. Drew?
Yeah, Robert.
You understand how, given, you know, my...
Proclivities?
My proclivity, yeah. You understand this whole relationship thing. I mean, I'm still imagining that I'm somehow going to resolve it.
With Deborah?
Is that a confirmed name? Your name? Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's ripe for the picking myself. I've softened her up sufficiently.
You know, yeah, I do too. I wouldn't imagine I should run that by her boyfriend. They seem very happy.
Oh, no. I don't like the cut of that kid's jib.
God.
I haven't seen him, but I don't like him.
Nah, he's great. It's the truth.
All right. Well, listen, hey, Robert, we got to go to break.
Why?
Because we're at the end of the show.
Deborah.
What?
I'm very proud of you. Brave Like Me is definitely an album that everyone must buy. And believe me, I'm beyond biased. I got it in the car all the time. Everyone who hears it says, give me a copy immediately. I go, what, for free? They go, no, I'll pay. No, I won't. You'll get me one. She's your wife. I go, you got
to
pay.
CDBaby.com is where to get it. Robert, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. And come in and see us in the flesh.
Okay, Deb, this is the best we've gotten along for a while, huh?
That's over.
She cracked a tooth grinding her jaw here. I didn't realize that's what it was.
I'll talk some sense into the girl, Robert.
All right,
we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for calling in. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Saying bye. I want to thank Deborah Falconer for coming in here. Interesting person to talk to. And,
so you keep saying.
Brave Like Me, name of the CD, CDBaby.com.
Inspired a whole new international system.
Well.
Inspired.
I don't want to burst your bubble, but fart power was around before Deborah was and will remain long after we're all gone.
But I have to establish a certain, you know.
Inspired.
You brought it back in a vogue. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you were the voice, the model.
So to speak.
So to speak.
All right. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahala.
Yes, yeah. You gotta go clean.
How do?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, you gotta go clean.
What?
Steve, here you go clean.
Yeah.
You see how frustrating it is to talk to you?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.